Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you to talk about the Dallas Stars rookies and evaluate their season. We've done some player evaluations, finally getting to the two, maybe the two most entertaining names the Stars had this season, Jason Robertson and Jake Ottinger. Both players obviously had really, really nice first years with the Dallas Stars. Jake Ottinger making his regular season Dallas Stars debut. Obviously, we saw him a little bit in the bubble last year, but really getting his first foray into the NHL, and we saw him make his first start. And Jason Robertson getting his first real long-term regular chance to be in the lineup for Dallas. Both players excelled. Jason Robertson cemented himself as a Calder candidate. We're going to talk about both players today. Obviously, we've talked about both of them a lot, so I'm going to try to get through both of them on today's episode. Before we dive into it, though, I want to talk to you about rockauto.com. They sponsor today's episode. They've got an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. We'll start with Jake Ottinger, obviously, because I think that I think Jason Robertson will take a little bit longer to delve into. But Jake Ottinger, obviously, is the Stars' number one goaltending prospect, number one young goaltender. And from the Dallas Stars' perspective, future number one goaltender for the team. He's pushed that that kind of narrative a lot this season. That was kind of the expectation when the Stars took him in the first round of the 2017 NHL Draft, 26th overall pick. And he worked his way up to the NHL level at the end of last season, filling in for Ben Bishop at, as the second goaltender when Bishop was out. Obviously, Anthony Dobin stepped in that first goaltending role. But this year, with Bishop out pretty much all year, Jake Ottinger really got his chance to kind of cement himself as the future number one for this team, and he did just that. He was really, really good this year, played in 29 games for Dallas, started 24, 11 wins, 8 losses, 7 losses in OT or the shootout, so 11 wins, though, across 24 starts. He had a .236 goals allowed average, .911 save percentage, with a shutout under his belt as well. Still just 22 years old, so still an incredibly young goaltender. And the future, his ability to kind of cement himself this year, has obviously brought up another question when it comes to the Dallas Stars goaltending situation this offseason, and it's what do the Stars do with Anton Hudobin, who obviously has 2 more years left on his contract. They've also got Ben Bishop with 2 more years left on his contract. Both those goalies over 33, I believe both are 34 now. So with 2 goalies under contract for 2 more years at age 34, and then Jake Ottinger, who's 22 and the goaltender of the future, the Stars really have 3 NHL-capable goaltenders. Anton Hudobin, who showed himself to be one of the best second, you know, number 2 or 1B, if you want to call it that, goaltenders in the NHL. Ben Bishop, who, when healthy, although it's been quite a while since we've seen him healthy, was one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, top 5 goaltender. And then Jake Ottinger, who in what was a great year for rookie goalies, was among the better rookie goalies in the NHL. So the Stars have 3 NHL caliber goalies, and so all signs are going to indicate that they're going to part with one this offseason. Obviously, Jake Ottinger's not going to be one of the one they part with. He's the future, so he's locked in. So the Stars are going to have to part ways with one of Ben Bishop or Anton Hudobin. All signs would say Anton Hudobin. Ben Bishop has the no movement clause. Anton Hudobin obviously is a little bit cheaper for another team that's trying to acquire. And the Stars, I think, at this point, they had the Anton Hudobin, Jake Ottinger experiment a little bit this year. While it was not horrible, I think that they think that maybe the, you know, not necessarily what you want to roll into next year with. So I think they would look probably more towards Bishop Ottinger trying that kind of experiment next season. You look at Ottinger, though, and compare him to goalies from other rookie goalies from across the league. It was a really, really good year for rookie goalies. There was half dozen or more that emerged this season and put up really, really impressive numbers. And Jake Ottinger was right in the mix of all of those. You look at rookie goalies this year and what they were and kind of the guys that were at the top and what they were able to do. Obviously. You look at guys like Nedeljkovic for Carolina, Sorokin for the Islanders, just to name a couple. They were both really, really good. Those guys kind of led the charge, so to speak. But you've got Delkovic, Sorokin, Shesterkin, Lankinen, Vanacek, Kakinen, Johansson. I mean, there's really a really strong crop of rookie goalies. Look at rookie goalies who started 15 games or more this season. Ottinger ranked fourth in save percentage at 9.11, behind Shesterkin of the Rangers at 9.16, Sorokin of the Islanders at 9.18, and Nedeljkovic at 9.32. You look at goals allowed average. He ranked among rookie goalies who started 15 games or more in that. He's finished third at 236, behind only Sorokin at 217 and Nedeljkovic at 190. Of course, Nedeljkovic, one of the Calder Trophy finalists alongside Jason Robertson and Kirill Kaprizov. But that's a really, really good group, and I think Ottinger certainly cemented himself as one of the best young goalies in the NHL. And another thing to consider when you look at that group, first of all, the Stars, compared to the rest of that list, not really on the same level than compared to a lot of those guys. Nedeljkovic played for a very, very good Carolina team, Sorokin with a very good Islanders team, Shesterkin with the Rangers team that made the postseason, Vanacek with a Caps team that was pretty good this year, even with that the first year exit. Kakinen from Minnesota was good this year. So there were some rookie goalies that really were playing with some really good teams, and Ottinger among the top five or six was one of the only ones that wasn't on a playoff team. He also played more games than a lot of these players as well. Nedeljkovic only played in 23, Sorokin 22. You look at Kakinen 24. Compare that to Ottinger at 29. That's fourth most among rookie goalies this year. Vanacek and Lankinen both at 37, Shesterkin at 35, and then Ottinger at 29. So Ottinger was, played the fourth most games out of any of these rookie goalies, and put up numbers that were better than pretty much all of the guys that played fewer games than him, or probably played more games than him, or in that same neighborhood of games. Really, Shesterkin was the only person in front of him in terms of games played and numbers. He had pretty much all the guys that played more than him on numbers, and if he was outperformed, he also played more minutes and had more time in net than a lot of the guys in front of him. So really, really good year for Jake Ottinger. The future's bright. The Stars are going to lean heavily on him, and if things go the right direction, you're looking at probably 2 years before he is the Stars number one. Even if and it wouldn't surprise me if Ben Bishop comes back and he's so-so, or he's not quite to the level that he was before, he missed the past, 15 months at this point or something like that, then I could see a 50-50 or close to it split. I don't think, regardless of what happens, I don't think that the Stars are going to go back to a traditional 1-2 punch. Even if Bishop's very, very good, I don't see him playing 75-70% of the games next year. I'm looking for something in the 60-40 neighborhood split. And the more Ottinger excels and the more struggles Bishop has, that number's going to get closer and closer. So really, really good stuff from the Dallas Stars rookie goaltender, and a lot of bright things ahead. Just 22 years old, had a phenomenal season. I think was maybe the second brightest spot on the year behind, of course, the man we'll talk about to finish up this episode, Jason Robertson. We'll get to him right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, I want to tell you about Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track the action at Bet Online. Get the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. For the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, talked about Jake Ottinger at the top of the show. We're doing the Dallas Stars top two rookies. I guess I should clarify top two. Obviously, we're not talking about Ty Dellandre today. We talked about him at the tail end of last week, I believe it was. Talking about Jason Robertson and Jake Ottinger, the two that really emerged for the Stars as guys who are going to be not just key contributors, but cornerstones for this franchise moving forward. And despite all the heroics that we saw Jake Ottinger had and the role that he took on this season. Jason Robertson stole the show for the Dallas Stars this season, and in a season that was pretty up and down with a lot more downs than ups, it felt like Jason Robertson was probably the main bright spot for the team this year. Robertson obviously played three games last season, made his NHL debut in 2019-20, but just three games, had a point across those three games. Came into this year with a role that was not really defined. He was on the outside looking in, trying to carve out a role in a spot in the Dallas Stars lineup this season. Even spent some time on the taxi squad at the beginning of the year. But once he got going, he was arguably one of the Stars' two or three best players this year. Played in 51 games to finish out the year. 51 of 56 for Dallas. Scored 17 goals, 28 assists, 45 points. So I believe that's in the .88 neighborhood of points per game. Plus 13 in the plus minus. He skated almost 17 minutes a night as a rookie. He hasn't even turned 22 yet, and he put up some of the best numbers the Stars had this year. He's obviously a Calder Trophy finalist. We've talked a lot about that extensively, about his battle with Kirill Kaprizov. We won't get too far into that today, Robertson really has kind of emerged. This is the best chance the Stars have to in terms of their rookies and their first and second year players to have an elite player. Now, I said that Roope Hintz is the Stars' best chance at an elite forward that they currently have on their team. I stand by that. I think Hintz is the best player on the Dallas Stars right now, without having seen Tyler Seguin in almost a year or a full season, except for, three games, and having not seen him healthy and longer than that, it's hard to evaluate him. You look at some of these other guys. Gurianov's very up and down. Pavelski, while he had the most points on the Stars this year, didn't have the most points per game, and at 36, 37 years old, you just never know when that's going to drop off and when that drop off's going to hit. But I think you look at Roope Hintz, and I think you see the best player on the Dallas Stars this year. But Jason Robertson is not far behind. He matched Hintz in terms of plus-minus. Was tied for the second-best plus-minus on this Stars team alongside Hintz and Jamie Benn, trailing only Joe Pavelski's plus-22. He had a phenomenal shooting percentage of almost 13.5%. Three game-winning goals, the second most on this Dallas Stars team. He really, really was an important piece of this Dallas Stars attack this year, and I think even more importantly, carved out an important role in the even strength attack for Dallas, which was has been a problem area in recent years. Robertson, among rookie forwards, was among the best this year. Obviously, it was Kirill Kaprizov led all rookie forwards in points with 51 through 55 games. Robertson, 45 through 51. So about 0.05 points per game behind Kaprizov. Had a better plus-minus, the best plus-minus among rookies. He was really, really impressive this year, tied with Logan Stanley, defenseman for the Winnipeg Jets, for the best plus-minus among rookies this year. When you look at Robertson, going back to that 2017 draft where he was picked in the second round, obviously that was a really, really good draft for the Stars, but the questions about him were never, what is his hockey ability in terms of point production, in terms of creativity, in terms of IQ. It was more so just it was the skating and the pace, and could he keep up with the NHL level of play. And I think from a Stars perspective, the encouraging thing is that I think in his first full year, he solidified those questions, and I think he answered a lot of those questions and silenced some of those critics. He's never going to be the fastest guy on the ice. He's never going to be the most athletic guy on the ice necessarily. But he certainly, has more than enough speed, more than enough agility, more than enough skating ability, and skate ability to make the best use out of what his strengths really are. And that's his creativity with the puck. He's a good goal scorer. Obviously, it's brought by the 17 goals, but he's creative. And you look at what he did with other guys on his line. There was kind of this perception maybe on the outside that he was benefiting from playing with Joe Pavelski and Roope Hintz on that top line. But if you look at the numbers and you look at their numbers compared, skating with Robertson versus without Robertson, he made an impact on them, a positive impact on them. They were better when they were skating with him than they were when they were skating without him. Which I think is a really, really important thing, especially when you're looking at a rookie who's coming in into a line with, you know, one of the best American players of all time, and Joe Pavelski and Roope Hintz, a young, bright, up-and-comer, probably the most talented player the Stars had this season in terms of regarding forwards. So for him to come in and positively impact those people, I think is really, really good. I think it points to good things to come for Jason Robertson. And we'll talk about that future right around the corner here on the Locked On Stars podcast. Before we do, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models out there, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning about your vehicle and wait while the guy behind the counter orders the parts that his warehouse happens to carry? They only have the one brand, so that's the brand you have to get. You don't have to go through that. Go to rockauto.com. You have access to it at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when you use rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, and we're looking to the future of Jason Robertson now after kind of talking about his season. We've talked about his season a ton, so I didn't want to dwell, you know, too much on that, but it was a great, great year for Jason Robertson. So now we look towards the future for him. Only 21, he'll be 22 at the start of next season, still incredibly young for an NHL forward, and putting up some absurd numbers as a 21-year-old really, really gives a lot of courage that he's going to be a real deal impact player for the Stars in the future and moving down the road. He's got 2 years left, or actually rather a year left after this year on his entry-level contract. He'll make $795,000 next season, a bargain if you get anywhere near the production you got this year. And then he's an RFA, so he's one of those that's going to have to get a long-term deal worked out in the next year or so. And the Stars have a few of these players, right? Dennis Kurianov's an RFA after next season. Obviously, we've talked about Miro Heiskanen in RFA this year. You've got Jake Ottinger's an RFA after next season. And then guys like Kiviranta and Dickinson and Rhett Gardner are all RFAs this offseason. You know, he's one of those that he's a restricted free agent, so, you know, he's going to be in Dallas and they're going to get a long-term deal done. But how much money is he going to command after this year? Next year for him is about solidifying that this year was not a fluke. It was not beginner's luck, so to speak, but this is the type of player he is. If he produces at this high level, no, I don't think he's going to get a monster contract because it's a year and a COVID-shortened year of really, really nice production. But I think he's going to get a hefty bumper deal to get him to his next contract, somewhere in the vein of what Roope Hintz is currently on, right? Remember, Roope Hintz signed that three-year deal worth a little over $3 million per year last offseason. I would expect Robertson to get somewhere in that neighborhood next offseason after the 2021-22 season, maybe a little bit more, maybe something closer to Redick Fox's 3.25. But he's going to be a guy who's going to start eating up portions of the cap, right? And so when you look towards the future, his next deal is going to be in Dallas. You know, you're pretty certain of that he's going to be with the Stars for at least the next 3 or 4 years. But beyond that, you know, after, say, he's with him for 4 years, he's still only 26 years old. If he's producing at this high level, he starts to become a very, very expensive player. So the Stars are going to have to strategize regarding keeping him long term, and they've already got to start planning, right? Because you look at those contracts. Jamie Benn obviously is under contract through 24-25. Tyler Seguin through 26-27. So those deals are worth paying attention to. The good thing for Dallas is I think when you look at this crop of RFAs, specifically Heiskanen, Robertson, Dickinson, if he's not in the expansion draft, Kiviranta, if you look at Jake Ottinger, I think there's a path where they can have those RFAs kind of finishing their bridge deals, so to speak, at about the time that Jamie Benn finishes in his $9.5 million comes off the books. Obviously, $7 million will come off at the end of the season for Joe Pavelski. You'll have another $6.25 million come off the books for Alexander Radulov this offseason. So there's definitely going to be money next offseason for the Stars to work with. But I think that you can strategize and you get some guys on some lower bumper deals. And I would expect to see Dallas try to get some of these deals to end after the 24-25 season, just to try to give them as much UFA money to play with as possible. Essel Lindell would be a free agent at that point. You would have, obviously, Ben Bishop would already have been out of contract, but the big ones would be Ben, Fax, and Lindell would all be UFAs at the end of that 24-25 season. So I would expect Dallas to really kind of try to maneuver. I expect this to go in blocks, and this will be an off-season conversation as well. We've talked about it, that the Stars, I think, are going to have to, you know, when they're planning money this off-season, short-term money, they're going to try to do as much as they can to get everything that they can off the books at the end of next season, because you've got Pavelski coming off, there's $7 million. You've got $6.25 million from Radulov, there's $13 million in two players that you're probably not bringing back, at least not nearly at the cap hit that they're already at. And they're coming off. That's $13 million. You know, around that same area, you'll have John Klingberg. Now, will he get an extension potentially? But as of right now, that's another $4.25 million that's coming off. You got Andre Secker, another $1.5 million coming off. So, you know, you've got those kind of guys that are coming off of contracts. And I think the Stars are going to want to try to enter the off season after 21-22 season with as much money as possible to kind of reshape this team and kind of rebuild for the future. And then I expect it to be kind of another 3-year block that kind of coincides with Jamie Benn, Radek Foxa, Essel Lindell's deals. And I think that they're going to try to get as much of that money off as possible. So I'd expect, you know, them to try to be as free as possible at the end of the 24-25 season. So then they can really start to maneuver their money around. If they bring Jamie Benn back, what's that cap hit? You know, Benn would be, what would he be, 35, 36 at that point? You know, I think there's a chance he's still an effective player. But obviously significantly lower cap hit. What is Radek Foxa doing? How do the Stars feel about what would be, I believe, a 32-year-old, 32-year-old Radek Foxa? You look at Essel Lindell, he'd be around the same age. How do the Stars feel about all of that? So I would expect the Stars to really try to anchor some of these deals. Haskinen, Robertson, you know, those kind of guys. I would expect them to really kind of Ottinger, really kind of work those deals into 2 or 3 year deals to try to free up as much money around the same time that the Jamie Benn and Faxa and Lindell come off the books as possible, so then they can really start to reshape their franchise. Because at that point, really, you know, after the 24-25 season, the only player the Stars have under contract right now is Tyler Seguin at $9.85 million, and they'd have him at 2 more years on that contract. So something to keep an eye on there. But Jason Robertson certainly has opened the door for him to be a long-term contributor for this Dallas Stars team, and I expect Dallas to really work hard to try to ensure that he is with them for the long haul. That's going to for this episode. Make sure to tune in again. We'll be back later this weekend, I believe, with another episode, so make sure to tune into that. If you need something else to check out, go check out the Locked On Today podcast. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.